Well, I just want to thank Paulina for bringing this to our attention. I was, I knew I, well, I see I have the file she refers to, and obviously this is something we should study between now and the next time, review this. I guess no one mentioned this before, and I had completely forgotten about it.
Okay. I had sent a rewording of the motion, but this is not what we're talking about now, but what we were talking about at the beginning of the meeting. Let's see. Do we want to work on that, or I will tell you that the main contention of a programming committee at our station was the board members who wanted to support the management, and the management did not want any interference with programming. He didn't want any help. And a lot of programmers, general managers believe when they become manager that there's no such thing as a LSB programming committee. They have full control over it. And when I tell these IGNs, we had several of them, they're surprised. You know, show me in the bylaws where such a thing exists. I said, well, we do have a mandate. It hasn't been followed through, but we do have it has existed. And so they're very surprised. And we did have one IGM that was welcoming, only one, that was welcoming an LSB programming committee. He said, oh, yes, I'm looking forward to that. I need help. Only one. And that one got fired. But anyway.
Nancy, so, didn't you tell me programming committees are standing committees, or they are not standing committees?
Well, advisory. The LSB has a right by the bylaws to have their own advisory committees. It does not make a list in the bylaws, and that's what's bad, because we have one station that has zero committees, because it says in the bylaws the LSB has a right to make any advisory committees that they want. It doesn't say they're required to have a finance committee. It doesn't say they're required to have a management selection review committee or outreach. It doesn't say that in the bylaws. In the PMB, yes, they are required to have finance, governance, coordinating, maybe one or two more. But
an audit or something. But programming is not an active or a standing committee for the PMB, right?
Well, it's not considered a committee, but it's the custom is to have one. You know, we're not considered a committee. That's why I wanted to raise the level of programming to actual committee. But I think we're sort of I don't know. I have to look. I don't think it's on the list of required committees for the PMB. So, and then maybe that's one reason why a lot of people, when they sign up for the programming committee, they don't come. They just I don't know why they sign up, but anyway. So the bylaws has some little tiny wordings that really people, you know, take advantage of in a lazy way. Like it says, you know, LSB should meet whenever they feel they have to fulfill their duties, but not less than every other month. Well, one station LSB is meeting every other month, the minimum, as if all their duties are done in such a crisis. So, yeah, bylaws need a lot of word.
Well, at our station, someone has been asking the program committee for their mission statement of late in the last few months. And I think it's a way for the program director possibly to sort of, you know, a little bit undermine. But, you know, I mean, is that a common thing that an ad hoc committee or just a committee that's been around but isn't defined as a standing committee needs to have a mission statement?
I it's very creative.
I know, and it's you know, it's sort of a ham-handed way of, you know, sort of controlling the program committee and saying, you know, this, you can't do this, you can't look into this, this is not your job, you know. When, for an example being what I just asked you all for, these evaluation tools, you know, when we asked management, we were told, you know, it's not your job to evaluate programmers, and we just asked, we said, we just want to see the instrument you use to, you know, for programmers to evaluate themselves, and then that you in turn on a, you know, annual basis use to evaluate each program, and, you know, we're still having difficult time getting that stuff, so, you know, and we have to assure people that, you know, oh, we're not going to do their job for them, or you know, it's kind of very political and a lot of minefields. But that's why I asked. Okay, thank you.
I was just in the exam looking at it. Yeah, it's on page, well, Article 7, which is covering local station boards, and Section 10, it says advisory committees, and it doesn't say the type of committee that you need. It just says at least two LSBs are in that meeting and in that committee. It doesn't say. But on the PMB, yes, it does. It says finance they need and audit and coordinating. And okay, I'm repeating myself. All right, so what shall we do now? I think we need, for this important programming committee, LSB programming committee, we need to do some more research, and we need to see what's already been passed. Thank you, Paulina, for bringing that up. And Jim Dingman's past motion, list of past motions, I just resent to everybody, and so we have some homework to do. And also, the part, the stuff that Janine sent, she got everything that she could from her station regarding training. And some of these things are really old, like in the 1990s or 80s. I mean, they're talking about cassette tape recorder you take into the field. There are still some things in there that are pertinent. So you might want to look at those. Some of them are hard to read because she scanned them, because she could not find digital. She just found hard copies of flyers. And so she just took pictures and she sent them to us. But it took her a long time, a lot of stuff. And, yeah, we need some kind of training program.
The 80s was pre-internet.
What did you say, Lucy? What did you
say? The 80s was pre-internet.
Oh, yes, you're right. That's true. Thank you. Can we go back to the on this, we need to study more, and we need to get some input. Some of you people know some programmers, and especially try to get some programmers that are been there a long time, and they've maybe lost many shows or a few shows, and so they would have really good points to make about grievance, and that we could incorporate. Now, I resent a motion I still think it's too wordy, but the motion to include on the station listserv, can we look at that again? And if we're not happy, we can wait till next time to pass it, because I don't think the PMB is going to meet again until January. They don't have any meetings scheduled. Unless something emergency comes up. Does anybody know if there's going to have a PMB meeting until January? So we still have some time to work on this before we can even present it to the PMB. I think that's right. Paulina, do you know who else is on the PMB? Wally's not here. See, Ralph's not here. I don't think anybody else know the PMB directors.
Yeah, I don't know. We will be meeting for sure, given that there are some legal matters, but that'll be in closed session, and it will not be an appropriate time to bring up any of this. So, Yeah, so I'm really not sure. I know the PMB will be meeting, but most likely in closed session to deal with legal matters.
Okay. All right. All right, this motion, I'm not real happy about it, but what do you all think? Shall we just leave it at what it is now, and then maybe when we have time, anyone, any member, see if they can make it more succinct, make it more short package. It seems to be kind of wordy. I'm not seeing. I wrote it, or maybe, I don't know, it's a motion to include into the station listserv the IED or ED, the engineers, the programming, core and crew, I forgot to take that out. Okay, LSB, development director, coordinator, membership director, coordinator, and I forgot to put committees there, okay. Motion, whereas communication through a listserv at each station is considered vital to the station's work, the station listserv shall also include the IED or ED, engineers, LSB, membership director or coordinator, outreach director or coordinator or committee, development director or coordinator or committee, in addition to the already PNB approved motion on the station listserv, which included the volunteer programmers, the paid programmers, the GM, the PD, the PNB programming committee recommends to the PNB to instruct the IED to direct the GM, IGMs, PD, IPDs to create and maintain a listserv and stop all listservs for only paid programmers or for only programming volunteer programmers, and that the creation and maintenance of this listserv be added to the GM and IGM, PD, IPD job descriptions. Does anybody have any kind of uneasiness with any of this?
This is Paulina. I do.
Yes. Yes, Paulina. Go ahead.
If we are instructing them expressly to stop a particular listservs, I think that might get some pushback because, first of all, GMs will argue, and maybe correctly so, that maybe they have, and they've always argued that, right, that they have certain things to communicate only to paid staff and programmers, right, because it's union issues and it's privileged information and so on and so forth. So there, that's going to be problematic if we're telling them to actually not, if we're telling our GMs and PDs not to communicate to a particular subgroup, right, of the whole station, right? I don't know how well that's going to fly. I mean, I understand the idea. I think it's a good idea, but I know that it might not be feasible for legal reasons, because if you have unionized employees, so it's not like, wait, are you telling us that we can't communicate only to our paid staff about issues that have to do with, with the union issues legal issues will arise there, I think, and of course we'll get pushed back, but I don't know if that means we still shouldn't be doing it. I'm not sure. I would love to hear other people comment on that, and I would love to for somebody like Sabrina, for instance, from KPFA, to be on the call to comment on that. That's why she's a member of the committee. Unfortunately, she's not present, I believe, or anybody else that's privy to this kind of these kind of issues. Now, that's one thing that I'm concerned about. The other thing I would be concerned about is, I believe stations already have an all-station list. You know, sometimes I'll get a email from a listserv that says an all-station, right, all-station list. What does that mean? I believe it means it's everybody, paid staff, unpaid staff, meaning volunteers, programming, programmers, paid and unpaid, but it does not include the IED or the ED, it doesn't include the LSB, it doesn't include any of the committees, right? So we're trying to expand the all, maybe the way we could work on rewording this is that stations expand their all station list to include right, to include the following. Then there should be a list. Now, the problem here then comes to the following. The way that these lists are used, right, because I don't know, can we or should we, do we want to mandate or attempt to mandate that there be a single list and all issues be communicated to all equally at all times, right? Because that's the point. You know, there could be an all-station list, but what is it going to be used for? You know, what kind of communications will, if other lists still exist, then of course communication will continue, for instance, between management and paid staff on issues that supposedly pertain only to paid staff. And management will still communicate with programmers that are volunteer programmers on issues that supposedly pertain to only volunteer programmers. So that kind of perpetuates this division, this class issue of first class and a second class employee or member, mm-hmm. which Nancy, I know you understand, and hopefully others do as well. And so then if we create an extra list, it's like, well, what are they going to use it for if they're going to continue to use their previous list as well? Can we really, should we really ask them to stop using sub lists, right? Communicate about mm-hmm. this only with a particular group, only with, I mean, I'm sure they will argue we have to, you know, we don't need to tell programmers what we tell staff. We don't need to tell staff what we tell programmers. We don't need to let the LSB know what the, you know, I'm a little confused. You know, maybe we need to review our whereases, so to say, right? What exactly, or maybe our purpose for this, right? We need to review what exactly do we want to accomplish by this, right?
Okay, I thought we were clear on communication between all the volunteers and the paid staff.
Mm-hmm.
Some way to communicate among each other.
Right, but what are we trying to do? Are we trying to completely, radically change the way that management communicates to all station personnel and the LSBs and committees, or are we trying to create a new venue for more communication, where you know, without impinging on how they already communicate with certain groups, is what I'm saying.
Well,
if maybe somebody can clarify that.
Yeah, I think we want to have a plus on this, an advantage, a better situation. But rather, we should not stop previous list serves. Maybe we should not do that because, as you said, if we're this list serve that we want to have done that includes everybody, all the volunteers. For the purpose of communication and being able to improve things, then those other listeners will not be so important by default. I mean, we should not be demanding them stop communication on the other listservs. I see. That's you're right. It will be pushed back on that, and also we don't need to be stopping them. At this point, just getting a foot in the door so that everybody can communicate with each other. We have very little chance to meet programmers. Programmers have very little chance to meet other programmers. It's very seldom mm-hmm. you have a in-person staff meeting. We didn't have one for, I think it was 6 years, and people did not recognize each other. Oh, they were surprised when they met, you know, after 6 years, how they had changed. And
Same here at PPFK. Yeah, sure.
Yes,
it's been sporadic.
So we do.
But especially now in times of COVID.
And now COVID is going to make things worse. So we do need a way to communicate. I mean, I really feel like, and now we cannot even call the station because the programmer's not there. We cannot even, you know, say thank you for playing that song, or thank you for what you said, or we can't. Oh, or I'm, you know, I can't even do that anymore. So this is really, I think, going to be used in a good way to keep us all connected. And we need to be connected. The station staff and volunteers need to be connected, and that was always missing before, but now more so. So, yeah, I agree about, you know, we shouldn't say stop all listservs. I mean, we can't really, if there is some legal things that they have to talk about, union, yeah, then that should not, I mean, that should not be put away. But once we have a way for everybody to communicate, then that's a plus, and that's what we should concentrate on.
Sure. Maybe the other thing that I wanted to mention, yeah, sorry, may I? Very
go ahead, quickly. Go ahead.
The other thing is that listservs are one-way communication. For instance, I am on several listservs. I'm on the all-station listserv. I'm on the programmers listserv, which is a listserv that includes both volunteer and staff programmers. But I'm not on, say, the staff listserv or the paid staff listserv. It doesn't matter which listserv I'm on. I cannot communicate back to the listserv. I can only receive communication. And, you know, and I can't, let's say, reply to all. If I try to reply to all, I get an email saying your email bounced because you don't have privilege to reply to that listserv. So you can only receive emails from a listserv but not reply to all, right? So I think that's what we're trying to remedy here, not necessarily, you know, that's, you know, I think that's what we're trying to hone in on, and I'm just not sure how to go about it.
Okay, then we have to add to the motion that reply to all is available, is allowed, enforced. Right? Hello?
No. I suppose the pushback is going to be, if we're going to literally open up a barrage of emails, they're going to use that word barrage, I'm sure, between pretty much among everybody that has a stake, then nobody's going to be able to sift through their emails. Needs to be an opt-in, like, do I want to receive emails? Do I want to do these, right? So that's what, I think we had this conversation in this committee earlier.
I'm hearing a lot of sloshing. Somebody's got their phone unmuted. Hello? Hello? Paulina, are you there?
Yeah, everybody there? I just finished talking. I muted myself, but I'm hearing noise also from coming from somewhere. I don't know where from.
Okay, Thomas, whoever said noise, please mute. Yes, go ahead, Thomas.
I heard what Paulina said about being able to opt in to, another way to say it would be, we need to figure out a way to allow programmers to talk to, you know, groups of programmers. Because you're saying it's a one-way traffic, and that's what I gather is what exists at our station, which is it comes from, you know, management to all programmers in Google Groups or something, but they have or maybe not. They use Google Groups somehow, but they can't communicate with each other, like you said. And that's what should be stressed. Programmers should be able to communicate with other programmers.
Well, not only that, with engineers and with the general managers and the program directors and even the LSPs. I mean, we should be all be able to communicate with each other. Our LSP listserv, we're able to go back and forth with each other on it. So what is the difference? What do you call it? Reply to all function available. How do you say when you want everybody to be able to communicate with each other? Lucy, do you know the term?
Well, it may not be that. You may have to say it just the way you did, Nancy.
Oh, really? Reply to all allowed.
Well, that you know, that allows interchange between programmers and engineers, programmers and management, programmers and programmers, LSB and programmers, et cetera, et cetera. You can give a whole list, but that would probably imply that everyone has access to whatever the Google Groups is. Yeah, and administrative privileges. All right.
Interchange with each other. Everyone is able to interchange with each other. Yeah. Okay, this motion needs to be worked on. So this will be for the next time. It's going to take time to fix this one. Okay. Now, so we need to work on the studying a little bit of what's been done. And so we might add some things to this Sharon's motion for the LSB Programming Committee. And then this one that expanding the listserv, the motion needs to be written where we guarantee or promised or let's see, we demand that everybody can interchange with each other. Got to find out what words to use. Is it all right with the committee that we discuss the next thing on the agenda? Hello, everybody? Is it okay? Did I put bilingual programming? Let's see, where is it, the agenda? Okay, here it is, I think. All right, there was... There's a station in California. I forgot where. It's all bilingual. Someone sent it to me recently. I have not been able to listen to them. But we have one show that's already in Spanish, Informativo Pacifica at KPFK, and it's a 30-minute show. And what do you think if we were to expand that show by 30 minutes and have either the first half in Spanish, the second half in English, or... one topic in Spanish and then translated into English, and then the next segment in Spanish and then the translation English. But I think we could use that show on an experimental trial to see if we can expand it to a bilingual program. What do y'all think about that? Comments?
And of course the second line, it's English and Spanish is what you're assuming, right?
No, this is one of the difficulties. Yeah.
I remember one time the first time I was out in LA and I had a rental car and I was going through the radio dial and I heard Hindi and Arabic and Persian and Chinese all in LA. So when you say bilingual, you're sort of ipso facto saying Spanish, English, right?
Yes.
Yeah, of course. So, recognize that I remember there was some motion that, to increase each station's Spanish language programming to something like 5 hours a week, and our station found that to be difficult because it was supposed to reference public affairs, but we have definitely some Spanish or Latin music programs that are even done bilingually that decided they could qualify. So it's not really public affairs, but anyway, that's all my thoughts right now.
Paulina, to the staff.
Go ahead, Paulina.
This is an ongoing conversation, and of course, people will absolutely bring up the fact that, why only Spanish, right? For California, it makes sense in the following sense. In Los Angeles County, approximately 46% of households actually speak Spanish at home. And there are many, many heritage speakers, so to say, folks who grew up here, but, you know, their abuelita speaks Spanish. They want to learn it. They're going to college and paying big bucks to actually learn it. They want a good level well-produced public affairs in Spanish that is also progressive, and they have no access to that. They have Univision, Televisa, and all of those very, very commercial mainstream media channels, but they don't have something like Pacifica. So for us, it made sense. We lobbied for it. We pushed it through, and now we have approximately 16 hours of weekly Spanish language content. Unfortunately, that content airs at times when working class people are asleep, because or they're watching TV with their kids or making dinner, whatever. It's from 8 to midnight, right? So I'm not complaining. It's better than nothing. It's content that also gets then later is made available online, but, you know, it needs to be promoted better. Now, it's not bilingual content. It's in Spanish. We fought specifically for that, and, we got it, and we're doing our best, and I'm part of that programmer's block. We have an association of Spanish language programmers here at KPFK that is trying to maintain, improve, and also share that content with the rest of the network, hopefully at some point. Now, it's not the case at other stations. I understand, and that's why, you know, the national motion got rescinded, finally, the mandate for the expansion, right, for the at least 5 hours. For us, it worked perfectly. We expanded our programming at KPFK by 5 extra hours. We already had, I believe, 12 hours. Now we have, something like that. So basically now we had 3 hours a night, Monday through Thursday. We expanded it by five. And here we go. Now, the question about bilingual programming is the following. It's really hard to produce. And I talked to the producer of Informativo Pacifica, Fernando Velázquez, and he said the following. Now, for say it in Spanish and translate, bueno, vale soñar. One can dream. Why? Because there needs to be a budget. And that was actually part of the conversation, the national conversation in the early 2000s, where there was going to be a budget for the production of an actual bilingual show. If I'm not mistaken, it may have been just for the Spanish show. Be that as it may, there are precedents, but those had a budget, and what's required there to make it work is really competent people that are dedicated fully to this. Here's how it might work. You know, you might have producers, stringers on stories in Spanish, stringers on stories in English, and then interpreters or translators that will be dubbing those stories into the opposite language. Lots of work. Or maybe somebody who will be reading a translation or a summary of the Spanish story in English live, or in vice versa. It requires a super competent crew and a lot of coordination. And I know it's possible. It is possible. But, waving a magic wand and making it happen is going to be more than difficult, challenging. But I don't think, like Fernando said, vale soñar. Let's keep dreaming. let's keep working towards it. And let's see who steps up, and let's see what kind of skills they bring to the table to make this happen. Just like we made the one national show that we're doing all as volunteers happen, we could make this happen. We could distinguish ourselves as Pacifica by having something like that. Nobody else has it.
Well, I'm glad you sound hopeful, because I really want to hear what is the needs and concerns on the Spanish language programs, because they're the minority and they're suffering, and that's more interesting, their concerns, to me, than from the groups that are not suffering. I really want to hear what's being said. it's going to, you know minorities are going to have something much more interesting. You know that because we've taken so much, suffering. It's more interesting. And so I cannot understand, but I'm learning, immigration and importante and just those kind of words I hear over and over, but I said, well, okay, it's about immigration. And you can hear the tenor of the voice. You know they're getting excited about, but what it is exactly, you don't know unless you know Spanish.
Yeah.
I want to
So
know.
You listen. Yeah, you listen to our Spanish language programming sometimes.
No, I'm listening to our Tuesday night shows. We have two.
Oh, to your Spanish language programming. Sure, Voz de la Tierra, and
Por el Latino Americano.
Good.
I asked one of them. I said, "Wouldn't you like to do some just itsy bit of English translation, like a." Short sentence about what was just said, just summarize, and they said, oh, Nancy, if people know what we're talking about, our show will be canceled. And I said,
Nancy, they are right. Actually, that's very, very true. I've noticed that, with all the censorship going on, actually being a Spanish language programmer is a big advantage. We get less... we get canceled on Facebook less than than English language programming with the same kind of content. But that's you're letting out a big secret.
Oscar, from the start, with a comment.
Yes, Oscar, go ahead.
Kind of as an example of what you guys were commenting. A couple weeks ago, when we normally or once in a while had the fortune to get in touch with a really, really important Honduran journalist, Milton Benitez, from a really important, kind of underground media. It's called, funny enough, it's called El Perro Amarillo, the Yellow Dog. And he pretty much, a couple of times went through what that name, and once you have once he says why is the reason, kind of makes sense, it's a movement, a revolutionary movement on Honduras. And just so you know, people, and especially people in power, are listening, because every time we have this guy, I mean, we sometimes don't want to, to put a preview or to put it forward that he's going to be with us on our show. But no matter what, every time that he's on the phone with us, you can hear, or actually sometimes not even hear. And we know, the transmission or his side of his cell phone, even though we sometimes call him like twice or three times, to kind of reestablish communication. And it's funny enough that we know that every time that Milton Benitez is on our show, we're going to have problems, communication problems with him, which normally we don't have when we talk with him in other media or on a different or like in a recorder show. So indeed, like in this case, Milton Benitez talks a lot of corruption in Central America, drug trafficking in Central America and Mexico, human trafficking between Central America, Mexico, and the United States, and pretty much just Paulina and I always, every time we got this guy, we just kind of cross our fingers to see how long we're gonna be in the air, because sometimes it's almost comical that you start listening, like click and noises, almost like that Saturday Night Live sketch. It almost looks like that, people on the other line almost giving comments and putting noises and stuff. So it's to kind of come back of about what the content still, as somebody saying in before, is definitely reactionary. It's liberal. It definitely goes against the tide of the regular media. So, I mean, those comments that you are about exactly what sometimes we're saying, and we have some other programmers that also really, really subversive, if you wanna say, like the programs before us on Tuesday is all about the really hardcore music, social hardcore music, and then mixed with some really interesting stuff about indigenous issues, about anarchism. And the show before that, you know, is it has always had really important voices from Latin America, you know, Mexico, Cuba, Venezuela, Bolivia, all over the place. So yeah, I kind of go into the idea that Paulina says. That if some English listeners will hear what we do in Spanish, maybe they will will have their own ideas. Thank you.
I repeat what the last sentence. People might get the wrong idea
if they hear, English-speaking listeners hear what we're talking about in Spanish, they might get the wrong idea. or maybe we'll get more, you know, we'll actually get canceled like many, many more radical shows. You know, I think the Spanish,
exactly.
Spanish language contact tends to be more radical than what's permitted on your standard airwaves. Normally, and I'm not talking about quackery. I'm not talking about things that might be considered dangerous for society at large. We're responsible communicators, but we are communicating about issues that you don't hear about from angles that you don't get to hear from about the issues that pertain to the diaspora and Latin America in general, and I know that we ruffle lots of feathers. We do, but this is all in Spanish, you know.
I'm thinking, well, maybe I should just be quiet and not, don't touch it, don't disturb it, because it's really important that the people that it really affects to hear, and I wouldn't want these shows to be shut down by any means. Go ahead, Thomas.
Are these, Paulina, what you're referring to, is this mostly impromptu, Q&A, call-ins, or is it scripted stuff? Obviously if it's impromptu and improvised, that's harder to make bilingual anyway. But in truth, I wanted to say something about bilingual programming. I speak some Spanish, and I would listen if people that speak Spanish, I'm sure don't listen to, they'd love to hear, you know, the progressive news in Spanish, and the same with English speakers. I wonder how many people would actually listen to a bilingual show, as opposed to, given that you in 30 minutes you turn 30 minutes into 60 effectively by transmission, unless you don't really bother to translate what you've got, but just play on except for major things that are scripted stuff. But if it's conversational, it couldn't be entertaining and attractive as programming if you stop and reset it the same way every time in the second language.
That's exactly right. Yeah, it doesn't make for good programming. Bilingual programming is very hard to make it attractive to audiences in general. The first people who get turned off by bilingual programming are bilinguals.
Yes, of course.
They get bored because they don't need to hear it twice. Yeah. Now, of course, it's an art. It's an absolute art to make bilingual programming attractive to audiences of two different languages, right? To monolingual audiences. It has to be scripted. Otherwise, it just has to count on the talent of very, very smart, quick programmers that can do it live. Very hard to do in times of pandemic when we're not sitting together in the same studio, when we're doing it remotely.
Spanglish, right? Only Spanglish.
Spanglish is not, it's a language unto itself. And When you start using Spanglish, you are actually addressing only one audience, a Spanglish speaking audience, and that audience is very particular. When you use Spanglish, you're excluding monolingual Spanish speakers such as first generation speakers, immigrants on whose labor really this country depends, right? So they need to be informed well in their own language. They don't, you know, they don't speak English yet. They will at some point, but they need to be informed in a responsible manner. And that's what, you know, that's what Spanish language programming is really doing. It's looking towards fulfilling our mission of informing all of our signal area, and because our signal area is has a huge number of first generation Spanish speakers who are being misinformed, I think, by commercial media. That's what our programs do. We're not really there to necessarily make the white folks feel better about how they are informed about what's going on with the Spanish speaking community. We're there to inform the Spanish speaking community, the janitors, the eloteros, the people that are there on the streets, the people who are taking care of your sick relatives, the people who are taking care of your kids, the people who are doing your gardening, who might not be getting this kind of progressive public affairs in the language that they are most comfortable in. And that's why it's so important. So, yes, of course, it's a different conversation. Well, how do we, you know, people who don't speak Spanish or people maybe who speak other languages, they will say, well, you know, we're interested. Genuinely will say, we're interested, would like to know what your issues are. We want to hear about them. Well, let's make a show about it. But how do we do it without a budget? Let's see. Making all of that programming into bilingual programming just to make sure that folks who don't speak Spanish don't feel excluded. It's problematic, right? It's problematic because it's hard to implement. I don't know.
The last few words you said was what?
I said it's problematic. It's problematic to make it as our goal, our objective, to make sure that folks who don't speak Spanish always feel included, right? That they, you know, it's doable perhaps with little. Inserts such as these folks have been talking about this, by the way, but I don't know if but it's not good programming, so it's going to be hard to make it. So it's just a question of sharing the airwaves. Oscar, you were going to say something.
Yeah, funny enough, this conversation remind me a point that somebody brought over about way back before the implementation of the last 5 hours of programming on KPFK. We're talking about 3 to 4 years. And somebody came with an idea. Of course, it will have to do with, with the space on the airways. And he was saying, you know what, it will be cool. Because actually it was from somebody, from a non-Spanish speaking person, but who was kind of around or a network at that point. And he was saying, you know what, as somebody who doesn't speak Spanish or just a couple of words, but then I saw how you guys go through this, or when you have some visuals, or when I see what you guys are doing, it will be interesting if at some point we might have, U.S. will have a show with, the best excerpts of the Spanish programming for a week on one day. And I was like scratching their heads. And now that kind of hearing a little bit of what you said, I'm wondering if it makes sense. Unfortunately, I don't know if we still have the capabilities for do or who else wanted to take that. But, it will be interesting because it seems to be that a lot of the issues, somebody mentioned there, for some reason, they might not get addressed by English programs because they're not knowing what are the issues out on the streets. So just a couple of things there.
Oscar, was that Eric in Washington, maybe?
No, that was somebody who was a friend of Hall's, a musician, local producer here, and once in a while he attended with us all the process of kind of getting the 5 hours, and he was pretty much almost a non-Spanish-speaking person, but he knew the issues, and he pretty much put that on the table. You know, it would be really cool for our, progressive people to actually know some of the things that we don't get any other way. That was one of the things that I remember really clearly mentioning.
Well, is let me just ask quickly, is the Spanish Language Committee still meeting, or have they been suspended? Because this guy was a non-Spanish speaker here in D.C. who used to tell us about the committee meetings, but, well, he hasn't been around lately either. Is the Spanish Language Committee still meeting?
No. I don't think so, or at least in that form we don't because also that's something that is hopefully once we get over all these problems and situations that we have ahead of us, one of my dreams it will be precisely to be to have a very stronger relationship with some other programmers and producers in the whole signal from all the stations. That would be great, because in the end, same thing. Maybe some issues from Houston maybe not appear as strong as here in Los Angeles or in New York or in some other places. And again, in this case, I would love to hear what are the issues.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like wage theft.
Like, for instance... agricultural workers being on the front lines and getting COVID. I mean, there's so much. Paulina, sorry. There's so many issues now. I just want to say to Thomas's point, there was a Spanish language task force, right, that the PNB created. I think that's what Thomas was referring to. That task force pretty much is no longer working because the national task force, right? And I think Rodrigo, right? Rodrigo Argueta, back when he was on the PNB, he was trying to get that work going. But we ran into, I think, lots of issues, problems with how to make it work at stations where we don't have that many Spanish language programmers willing to put in the volunteer work, or being able to, not willing, but being able to put in that work to actually work on a national level. And it hasn't met in years now.
Okay.
I think the last year was 2016, maybe. Yeah,
something like that. 2017, 16.
Mm-hmm. I still think it's more important, the important point of having bilingual is that non-Spanish speaking people can understand and be able to connect, to understand the problems. If they cannot understand Spanish, it's like turning on the radio to our station and there's no way to know what problems people are suffering. And that's real important. And that not understanding the problems keeps us all separate, keeps us in imagination, or we don't know the real truth. And that's not good. That's what I think is missing. But I would not want to jeopardize the shows by, them saying something that would shut the shows down. No, I would never want that to happen. So I really... I sort of stopped asking those Spanish programmers to speak in a few words of English because that was really for my own, the monolinguals, to let them, be able to understand. But maybe this is a difficult problem, but I do think we can, like Oscar was saying, maybe just have an English show and then present things in a non-dangerous way, to let people know, because that's important to connect us all. And we're all being slaves, we're all. The 1%ers got us. We have more in common than we have not in common.
Oh, our intentions are good. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
I hate to put this to an end, but we've already gone over 2 hours. And I think we have a lot of work to do. And I hope all of you sign up for the programming committee next year that have a chance to. And I hope you get elected. Shall we call this to an end, this meeting? I hate to, but
yeah.
I mean, we have other things to do, all of us, and I didn't think Ralph could get away to come back to join us either. So we've got a lot of work to do. I will try to get these minutes of tonight's meeting back to you all sooner so we can be...
Will this be it for the year, or do they have one more meeting?
Oh, no! We're not finished, no. Look, I had reserved...
The 27th?
27th, but I did not ask the committee yet if they wanted to have a third meeting for this month. And that is the Christmas weekend, and I don't know how your family plans are. If we have 7 people that want to meet, and that can, we can meet. But if you want, all of you want to have the next meeting in January, then I will post the next meeting in January. How do you feel? How does anybody would like to, I mean, I don't know, you what do you think about 20? Who feels like meeting on the 27th? Who feels like meeting in January? I'm not hearing.
Yeah, I do agree. It will be probably a good practice to just kind of wrap it up because, who wants to meet on the 27th?
Okay. So, Oscar, are you saying yes or no to 27th?
Yeah, no, probably that will be pushing it a lot. Like in my case, most likely I'm going to be in the middle of a lot of things. We do a lot of volunteering on those days.
Uh-huh.
And maybe we want to be on top of, many different issues. So if that's possible, personally, I'd rather move the next meeting to next year.
Okay. Okay, January the first Sunday is on the 5th. Is that too soon? Is people are still in celebration of New Year's on the 5th? Does the 5th sound okay? If not, I will...
Paulina here, the 5th sounds okay.
Sounds okay. Does anybody have a conflict on the 5th? Okay. And I presume KPFK will have their board meeting on the 19th. That's the third one. So if we have the 5th and maybe the 26th, that'll be the first and the last Sundays of January. Shall I reserve, or do you want to have the 12th? 5th and 12th, or
the first and last sound good. The 5th.
Okay.
And
if that's okay with every Lucy,
yeah,
is that all right with you? Is Lucy still on? If that's okay with you, and who else is on? Should be some more people on this call.
Thomas, I'm fine with it.
Okay. How about Ralph? Is Ralph back or no? Sharon, are you there? Did we lose Sharon? Oh my. Okay, I will ask her later on. Let's see what Oscar was. All right, everybody except Sharon and Ralph and Lucy. Okay, I will ask him. Okay, I will reserve January 5th and January 26th. So everybody have a very healthy New Year's, Christmas and New Year's. And we'll see you next year.
Thank you, Nancy. You too. Happy New Year.
Yes.
Yes, everyone,
yes. Happy holidays.
Happy, happy.
Bye.
Everybody take
care.
Take care.
You too.